That's all about toughness right now. You know, it's going to be spotty both ways. I think there was great basketball played on both sides, stretches of it. The rest of it was just gutting it out and finding a will, a way, and a want. Somebody asked me before the game about our adversity or, you know, how do we respond. I think we saw not only respond for the game, we're down 12-0. And we fall back. And holding them to 12 points in the fourth quarter obviously is key.
I think Mike's style is more pace and space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that means?
Don't patronize me. Yes.
I still feel you handled pretty well. I'm obviously rooting for a number of reasons for the Rockets, and that's one of them, to see that family have success. That was the biggest playoff win that Mike D'Antoni has had. And I listened to a few different things this morning, people saying things like, hey, at least this morning you can't say, you know, Mike D'Antoni, take the D out of D'Antoni, yada, 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 because his team played excellent defense throughout the entire game, but especially in the fourth quarter when they had to get it done. Golden State shot, I think I just saw up here, 3-for-18 in the fourth quarter, and
ew,
they scored 12 points in the final stanza.
Oh, they just can't handle it in crunch time. I'm wondering this. Obviously, I'm joking about the crunch time thing, except that I saw a lot of this last night. Well, hey, the Warriors aren't accustomed to these close games, so that's the explanation for why they're not playing well in the fourth quarter.
Well, that's weird.
Well, it's weird because they had a healthy lead coming out of the third quarter. It's not like they found themselves in a grudge match that went blow for blow, and it was always within 3 points the entire game. They had that lead, and they lost it. So if anything, like it wasn't a matter of like, well, the Warriors aren't accustomed to being in this situation. That part is true, but they put themselves in that situation there. The Rockets clawed their way back. And more than anything, the Rockets, even though at times I felt like they were getting a little bit desperate, part of it's because Gerald Green was launching up some poorly ill-advised shots.
He was a little bit too energetic offensively. Defensively, he brought it.
That one three that he shot was, it felt like he was trying to do the LeBron clutch running bank shot, but except he was trying to do it from the 3-point line in the third quarter instead of at the very end of the game.
Yes.
He needed to settle that back a little bit. But the defense that he contributed defensively, that was the biggest shock of the night for me.
Oh,
is
yeah.
That Gerald Green was huge defensively at times.
He had a big block on Steph Curry. And from a Warriors standpoint, real quick, I thought that
Don't make it quick. We've got a long show.
We do.
Here.
We removed the last shot of the game by Steph Curry. Let's call the Warriors' previous possession their last real possession. When Harden missed a three, they got the ball. Durant crossed half court. They did not call timeout, and they ran what was a really bizarre play. And I'll just say this. If you are a Warriors fan this morning, and I'm sure this is going to be probably the main topic on the San Francisco radio stations on Wednesday this morning, I don't know, A, how they don't call timeout in that spot, given the fact that they were disjointed running that play, and B, I don't know how anybody except for Kevin Durant or Steph Curry takes that shot, and C, I don't know how Kevin Durant gives that ball up to Klay Thompson in that spot. To me, thank you very much, Kevin Durant. I mean, how many times has Kevin Durant hit shots in this series where you're like, oh my God, like, what happened? Why did God put this guy in the earth to take shots over my team because there's nothing you can do? Kevin Durant giving that ball up, thank you.
I want to tell you this. Even if you're not a Rockets fan, you have to look at this right now and look at this Warriors team, which has become so insufferable in so many ways ever since Durant just went there and created this unfair superpower, which whatever, it's, they didn't cheat or anything to create it, but it's just this miserable situation where you just had too much talent compiled on one team. And they've just become so, oh, Steph Curry with his shimmy, this little Urkel bastard, awkwardly trying to dance out there. Just, it's disgusting. It's sickening. What you have to do, even if you're not a Rockets fan, is hope for this. Hope that the Rockets can win two out of the next three games, because that would be the biggest travesty, the biggest joke, the biggest fraudulent effort by a super team ever. Like, because the Rockets are really good, don't get me wrong. But you look at it on paper, if the Rockets pull this out of their ass and win this series, it's going to be because they played harder.
Yep.
It's going to be because they were more committed to defense. It's going to be because they were better coached than Steve Kerr, who so far has ridden a magic carpet. He's a magic carpet composed of the back hair of all these great players. He's just been riding along, being Steve Kerr the genius. Steve Kerr will have gotten his pants coached off of by Mike D'Antoni if the Rockets can pull this out. So even if you don't like the Rockets, you have to pull for the Rockets now. If you like America, if you like freedom, if you like things that are not evil, then you have to pull for the Rockets here.
Man, if the Rockets come back, at this point it's not a comeback. If the Rockets win this series, then the Warriors are going to get so little credit for their one championship so far with Durant that it would be incredible. Now, maybe they go on to win a championship or two, you know, moving forward, or three. How do I know? But you're 100% right. That would be seen nationally as a major indictment on that basketball
team. It would be annoying because a lot of people would talk about how the Warriors let it slip away more than the Rockets beat the Warriors. But that's where I think people are coming around to this now and understanding that, okay, wait a second, the Rockets actually can play defense. And the real great shame of it is, are we even hoping anymore that Bob Mute is going to show back up, Mike?
Actually, I mentioned to Landry after the game, given how many minutes the Rockets guys played, Harden 43, Paul 42, Tucker 44 minutes last night, Ariza 41, I wonder if Mike's going to try to squeeze a few minutes out of some extra guys on Thursday.
No, but when I say when he's going to show up, I don't mean is he going to be out on the court getting minutes. For him to play 0 minutes tonight or last night, and I can't imagine he's going to make some miraculous physical comeback to where he looks like himself.
No, but the only thing he has to do if he does get in the game is just hit some shots. Just hit his layups if he's open, right? Like just do something. It's not like you're asking Luke to play good offense. You want him on the court because he's a good defensive player.
And as far as people being concerned that the Rockets only played seven guys last night, that's a fair and valid concern.
That's what they had to do in last night's game.
So the question is, it's not a criticism of what they did last night. It's that, are you going to be able to pull that off for the next three games? The Rockets don't have the bench advantage that perhaps a lot of people thought they were going to have, but it's not like the Warriors are magically a deep team right now.
Yes.
You know, they played eight guys last night. Who had the least minutes amongst them? Nick Young, I think, had 12 minutes, which goes a long way. Don't get me wrong. That goes a long way, but it's not like the Warriors have this incredible depth. They still had 43 minutes out of Durant, 45 minutes out of Draymond Green, 39 out of Klay Thompson, and 38 out of Steph Curry.
Before we go to headlines, we talked a lot Monday morning about Mike D'Antoni calling his team soft. Here's what he said about that particular topic after the three-point win in game number four.
And I regret it because I'm up here with a lot of adrenaline, and I was disappointed in our overall effort, offensive, defense. They're not soft. It's just we didn't play with the amount of force that you need. And I know they didn't think it was going to be easier. They didn't, you know, it just sometimes happens, and they, you know, give them credit or whatever. And, you know, matter of fact, I don't remember that game. I just kind of focusing on what we did right now. They're not soft, and they proved it. So I misspoke, and you guys miswrote it.
I do.
Wait. You guys miswrote it. Was he joking there? He must have been joking.
I misspoke. And you guys miswrote it.
I think he was saying that, like, because I misspoke,
miswrote what I was saying. I do think that there's the elements of D'Antoni that's completely opposite to, let's say, Bill O'Brien, where D'Antoni doesn't choose his words that carefully necessarily. And I don't say that as an indictment. I just think he's much more of a free-flowing, folksy sort of guy.
Yeah.
So he's going to say a bunch of things. And I don't even know if he regrets saying that. I think sometimes psychologically, like, you can throw something out there to piss off your team. And I think he's someone who believes in those kind of psychological tests once in a while.
Yeah.
Right now, time for headlines on a Wednesday.